You're listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 39, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang, and this episode comes out of some conversations I've been having with church leaders about podcasting, and I wanted to chat with you about how to start a podcast by answering some of the key ingredients, the question of what you should put into a podcast. And I want to try a slightly different format for this episode and the next, as I will be in three places in 2 weeks, one of those being international, a place where Twitter and Facebook and podcasting is in a different world because they have a different network system there. And the place shall go unnamed, but not too hard to figure out. If you think about the places where Twitter and Facebook are not accessible. So I'll be there for a few days, and between two other conferences I'll be at in Los Angeles and Dallas. But I still wanted to check in with you as a weekly podcast. It's good to have a consistent rhythm. And one of the amazing things that's been happening in podcasts more recently is just the re-emergence of interest. Some people have even dubbed it as a resurrection of podcasting, which has been around since like 2005, according to Wikipedia, that it came out with the advent or the invention of the iPod, and Adam Curry and a couple other programmers put together some RSS feeds, which stands for Real Simple Syndication, and allowed people to subscribe to a syndication feed where new episodes of media could be automatically downloaded using a podcatcher software. And they name podcasting and podcatcher is kind of a play off the word of iPod. And actually, we have other forms of media players. And so the word itself is evolving and morphing as we go. And as technology develops, new words get introduced. One of the best words that I think is more descriptive of this whole genre of media is netcast, which was coined by the people over at twit.tv, This Week in Tech, and Leo Laporte and his team, who are regular producers of netcast content. Netcast you love from people you trust is their tagline. And in the Christian world, of which our listeners here at Social Media Church are, there's a growing audience of listeners, not just with our podcast here, although I'll be sharing with you some numbers in next week's episode. Just to give you a heads up, we're approaching 7,000 downloads after running for about 9 months now. So a significant audience, not huge in terms of millions, but significant enough that I feel it is still an important work to do to get my voice, not so much my voice, but a community of voices out there of church leaders that are learning from each other and sharing their learnings about how to use social media in the church. Not just the technical nuts and bolts, but really the thinking and the philosophy behind it. And that's what I want to talk about on this episode. But let me share with you a statistic that just helps you to quantify the potential reach of podcasting as a medium, as a genre. So this is from the survey conducted by Barna Group, which shows 38% of evangelicals and 31% of other born-again Christians had listened to a sermon or church teaching via podcasts, defined as digital recordings available on the internet, compared to only 17% of other adults. And so the potential audience for podcasting is certainly going to continue to increase. And back to the point I was starting to make, this resurgence of interest in podcasting, I think, has re-emerged, and some have called it a resurrection, because of the ease of subscribing and downloading and even streaming podcast episodes now with the advent of mobile phones and smartphones. And so with that, I'm beginning to see more churches and Christian ministries and people who just happen to be Christians in the business world and marketplace beginning to produce their own podcast as an extension of their brand and products and services and to just get their message out. And one of the things I love about podcasting, and I've mentioned it on Chris Brogan's comment about the resurrection of podcasting, is that podcasting is the only digital media that you can consume content and take input of data without having to use your eyes. Now think about it. Whether you're using Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or photo sharing or video sharing on YouTube or blogging, all of those things require using your eyes to read or watch content. Whereas podcasting, particularly audio podcasting, you can close your eyes and just listen to the voice or the music or whatever audio, oral experience and just listen to that with your eyes closed. And I know for me, I'm into my 40s now and I had gotten progressive trifocals. So any opportunity I have to rest my eyes while I can still take in content is a huge positive for me. And so not only have I gotten back into listening to other podcasts, I've started producing this podcast here at Social Media Church. The questions I wanted to address on this episode is, well, why would you want to produce a podcast? Now, a couple episodes back, I had a conversation with Christian Warren, who is the founder and producer of the Spoutcast, one of the few podcasts that is not a sermon in the church and Christian world. And certainly I also want to acknowledge there are Christian podcasts that are produced based on radio or television shows that they just rip the audio and use podcasting as a delivery mechanism of on-demand subscribed media that people can download onto their mobile or tablet devices as another means of convenient delivery, and that's a nice thing to do. But more specifically, I want to talk about podcasting as a genre to itself, where you are producing content specifically and even exclusively just for the podcast listener. And there's a whole subculture there of people that connect and have community over podcasts. And two of the most popular ones, perhaps I should just acknowledge, that are out there that really define this genre. Adam Carolla is perhaps one of the most popular podcasts out there. And a bunch of other ones that you can just click through the iTunes directory to see popular podcasts that you can subscribe to and just see who are the best of breed. And I'm not going to get into the technical aspect of it so much, but I'll mention some resources for those of you that after you hear about the ingredients that go into podcasts, you'll say, hey, I want to look into how to actually implement this. Then I want to give you a good handoff and get you started on that. But as you think about whether to produce a podcast that would speak to your audience, certainly you want to start with, well, what kind of message do you have to share and who do you have to share it with? I think of social media being a level playing ground. It really opens up the whole world to you. And through podcasting, you can produce your own radio channel or your own video channel, kind of like a mini television through a YouTube or a Vimeo channel. And so when you have that kind of power and capacity in your hands, you have a huge opportunity to make impact in your local church community. Those people who are already a part of your church or your small group or your ministry. That's one circle. Kind of the second circle that I think of is your neighborhood, your locality, your city. That could be a second group of people that you are already living in the midst of them, and you might have a message that would be relevant and pertinent to them. And you as the host or the curator can be platforming those stories and content that's hyper-local that you could target to. And then kind of the third circle would be global, that a message that you would have that's compelling, passionate, relevant, that could cross cultures and even nationalities, although language is a different barrier. If you've got a message compelling for many people that could go to the world, podcasting is a tremendous distribution channel of content that you can produce and share with the world or your respective community. So defining your community is certainly a big piece of that. But I want to frame my conversation with you about how to produce a podcast in terms of four groups of ingredients. So the first group of ingredient, the first ingredient I've just alluded to is people. So who will be the people that produce the podcast, and who will be the people that will be listening to the podcast? Okay, who are the people producing the podcast, and then who are the people that will be listening to the podcast? Just to use Social Media Church as an example, and then I'll be unpacking that in the next episode. For Social Media Church here, I am the host, DJ Chuang. As a consistent voice on every episode, I want to be checking in with the audience just to set up the conversation that I have with other church leaders about social media. A very simple premise, gives it a focus on what we're talking about. And the audience I'm looking to serve is church leaders, other church leaders, so that this podcast becomes a consistent and regular place where we can be learning from each other. Not so much a Q&A format. There's a couple other great places for that on Facebook. There's a couple groups now that are specific to online ministries and social media, where church leaders, both paid and volunteer ones, are using that as a place to share resources and get question and answers and best practices shared in that kind of a format. And there's one on Google Plus that Josh Burns has launched about a month and a half or two ago, where they're sharing tips about using social media. Great vehicle, great use of those mediums. Well, at the podcast here, I wanted to get behind the thinking and the backstory of people who are doing not just internet campuses, that was my starting list, and just to hear what people are doing with social media in creative ways. And hopefully, as you listen to that, it sparks your own creativity. You can borrow and adapt some other ideas, but by hearing other stories, I think it also spurs on and kind of calls out your own stories. And that's the other half of the equation in terms of people. So figure out who will be the consistent voice to be the host or co-hosts for your podcast. And you may want a tech support team to actually do the nuts and bolts and the technical side of the production, whether you're running audio or video. And that's a decision I'll be alluding to in a few minutes as we run through the ingredients list. Right now, for this podcast, Social Media Church, I'm doing all of the above. So I produce the content in terms of inviting guests to join me in conversation, as well as coming with the ideas, managing the website, editing, and posting the audio. So all of the above, single man operation here. It's a labor of love. There's long as I'm alive and have the time and energy, I'd love to do this as a means of ministry and just serving the people of God. And perhaps God will provide someone to come alongside of me that has a bit more of the business savvy to provide more capacity and resources so I could do more with this. But right now, at this point, at this date of episode 39, it's just me. And that's okay for now. So ingredient number one is people. Ingredient number two is the content and format. So one of the first decisions that you'll need to make as you think about producing a podcast is whether you want to go audio or video. In both cases, the audio is very important. I found that as I've produced and recorded some videos on YouTube, that the audio is even more important than the video, because the audio is what engages people at the words level. And when your video's fuzzy, there's a lot more leeway with that. But the audio, in terms of the words and the music, makes that multimedia experience so much more engaging. And then when you go with the audio format for the podcast, well, audio is all you got. So make sure you do it well, or do it as well as you possibly can. Now, so one is a question of format, technically speaking, how you want to deliver the content. Is it going to be audio or is it going to be video? Or you could do both. And a good example of someone that does both is Twit.tv and the whole family of netcasts that Leo Laporte and his team produces. And what they do, and it's evolved over time. I mean, they've been at this for at least 5+ years, I would guess. They produce a live stream video recording where they turn on the webcam. Actually, they use nicer cameras than that because they're a viable business now. And they live stream the actual recording of the podcast, Twit.tv being one of a family of podcasts. They also do This Week in Google, Triangulation. What are some of the other shows? There's one that's about social media. There's one about Android. There's one about iPads and iPhones. Just a great family of tech-related content. And they have the live stream version of that where you can watch the recording of the podcast. Then they do a post-production and clean up the video to deliver a video podcast. And they also rip the audio off that and produce a audio podcast. And so it's delivering the same content in a variety of formats, meet people where they are. And I love it when people can do that. Because in the on-demand world, you want to provide the content in as many formats as you possibly can if you have capacity to do that. It's about convenience of delivery and point of consumption. And digital media makes that so much more accessible now. It does take a little more time, but it doesn't add a whole lot of cost. So that's the in terms of the technical format. In terms of the program format, three come to mind. You could do a monologue, kind of like this episode is, where it's one person talking. And you've got examples of that on AM radio, whether it's Dave Ramsey or Rush Limbaugh or Dr. Laura. There's a number of monologue radio formats that could be adapted into the podcasting world. You can do an interview format. There's some shows that do more of a one-on-one or two-on-one or two-on-two kind of a thing. Or panel discussions is another good format that makes it much more interesting than just listening to one person talk. And then third would be more of a variety show where you have different segments during your podcast, whether it's a news update and then kind of the meat of the episode and then a shout out to other resources. You can decide on that more of a variety show format to make the podcast from week to week a lot more interesting. And then you'll want to decide on the frequency. How often do you want to deliver a podcast? And there's something magical about weekly. Having a weekly rhythm of consistent, compelling, relevant content, fresh content, newly produced, helps to engage an audience. Any less than weekly, you kind of disturb the rhythm of life. I mean, even church, right? Church, you have a weekly worship service, right? So there's something about weekly that keeps people engaged. And if you were to do more than weekly and maybe ramp it up to every weekday or every other day, man, if you've got capacity to do that, make sure you have the capacity and resources and funding. Funding is the fuel to keep things going. You could potentially do more. But having said all that about around the topic of content, then at the center of it, what is the compelling content and value proposition for your listener? So for us here at Social Media Church Podcast, it's conversations with church leaders about social media. I'm going to link to a list of ideas that come from Paul Allen Clifford, who wrote a blog post titled 5 Podcast Ideas to Connect to an Online Audience. And he's the author of The Podcasting Church, which is now compiled into a trilogy called the Ing Church Trilogy, Podcasting Church, Tweeting Church, and The Serving Church, available on Kindle. Again, check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net to check that out. And I believe his book, I haven't read it yet, but it sounds like it's a great resource that walks through not only the program side of podcasting, but also the technical side of podcasting. So you'll want to check that out. And there's other tutorials I'm going to link to in the show notes, including two podcasts. I'll mention them at the technology section here in just a moment. But some of the ideas that he threw out, timeless tales, parents wanting to raise well-adjusted children who have a moral compass to guide their decision. What if a church created a weekly bedtime story podcast with classic stories meant to both entertain and instruct? That's one of his ideas. Another one, leadership lessons. Every August, Willow Creek Community Church hosts a leadership conference called the Leadership Summit. And their faculty teaches a lesson on leadership designed with church leaders in mind and business leaders welcome too. What if a church with a gifted leader did something like that on a weekly or monthly basis? One of the new podcasts that I just started listening to is the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast. So he is producing a podcast just for the podcast channel for church leaders and other leaders to just draw some leadership lessons. And that's been a valuable resource for some. For many, third idea that comes from Paul Clifford's blog post, Marriage Minutes. There's a thriving community of marriage bloggers and podcasters already teaching lessons gleaned from their own lives. Why not pick up on this trend and have someone from the family ministry of your church talk about lessons they've learned? Great idea. Number four, teen topics. Despite what adults think, there really are a large number of teens that want to make good choices in dating, education, and career. Why not have a show for teens by having teens sponsored by your church where students can connect with each other and share advice and struggles? Hey, another great idea. And number five on his list, musical moments. In our culture, music plays a huge role. Starting in the late 90s, VH1 recognized that people wanted to know more about the bands than just their latest singles. A church could do something similar with Christian music or even secular music that pertains to a weekend message. Well, there you go. There's five ideas that come from Paul Clifford. Hope that sparks your imagination of why you might want to produce a podcast content. Off the top of my head, I think podcasting is a tremendous vehicle, a tremendous content channel where you can be producing content that has multiplying impact. Now, think about it. Over the course of the week, between church services, you're connecting with people in your community and people in your church, whether it's a counseling session or a coaching session or a check-in to see how they're doing. Now, with a podcast, you could be sharing the same story with dozens and hundreds of people with 15 or 30-minute segments instead of lining up 30-minute phone calls with a dozen people, which adds up to, 6 hours? It would be 6 hours if you lined up 30 minutes with 12 people. So in 30 minutes, if you were to produce a podcast with a clear, compelling message that serves a group of people, whether it's your small group leaders, ministry leaders, your dads, your moms, your teens, you could be providing additional content that they can take with them on their commute or while they're doing laundry or the dishes or the errands or morning workout that comes from the context of your very own church community, your own faith community, to help keep people encouraged and equipped over the course of the week instead of just having a shot in the arm on a weekend worship service. So through podcasting, you can be leveraging content and really being a more engaged part of their spiritual formation. Now, wouldn't that be a great thing? And from my vantage point, saying, hey, besides the weekend worship service, don't you as a church have more to say to your people to equip them, to nourish them, to encourage them, to help them in their spiritual journey? I certainly would like to think so. And producing a podcast is much, 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 much easier and much, much, much less costly than producing the weekend worship service where you need to have facilities and then all the manpower it takes and all the preparation it takes to produce just a 90-minute or so of activity. I mean, with podcasting, you're producing, let's say, and usually I aim for a 30-minute episode, you're producing 30-minute episodes that have the multiplying effect to reach your community in your church, your community in your locality, the world, the community of people around the world, And if the content's hosted properly and findable through search engines and through subscriptions, then it has incredible reach, way far beyond your church walls, way far beyond the 90 minutes of a worship service. So podcasting is tremendous. Oh, so tremendous. And I wish more church leaders would not just so much jump on the bandwagon, but really strategically leverage this as an additional medium to build into your people, to make disciples, and to reach people for Christ. So that's content. So ingredient number one, people. Ingredient number two, content and format. Ingredient number three, the production. Now, in the production, just real basically, I'm giving you a high-level overview. You need to record the audio and or the video, and then clean it up. Now, for me, I've tried to do this on a more polished manner, where I'm manuscripting every word, and I found myself tripping over my own words. And then if you watch people do radio shows, and what's funny to me is sometimes you can watch cable television or even television where you're watching someone talk on the radio, whether it's NPR or ESPN Radio or Rush Limbaugh. You're watching someone's video of them talking on radio. I mean, it's supposed to be radio, right? You're supposed to just listen to the voice. But whatever. Apparently, there's an audience for that, but you got to record the content and then perhaps clean it up to cut out the ums and the bad transitions or the fumbles. I found myself, well, I'm just going to record this, let it roll. If it's fairly fluid all the way through, I'm going to let it go rather than spend double, triple, quadruple of the time to try to clean it up so it sounds more perfectly. Again, this is a one-man operation, so I'm going to keep my workflow streamlined. But record the audio and or the video so that you have the raw material. Clean it up using an edit tool, and I'll run through a quick list of technology that you should be considering. On the production, I like to add a jingle, whether it's on the front end or back end or both, just to add a signature, some kind of a musical note that denotes your show, rather than just having all verbal on your production. That helps to engage your people. Just give it a bookmark on what your podcast is, and music somehow engages our memory in a particular way. The song that I use here at Social Media Church was donated by someone who was my colleague at Worship Leader Magazine in the Song Discovery Division. So if you check back the show notes, I believe it was on episode 2 or 3, way back when, I have a link to his song discovery and the name of the song that's used here at the Social Media Church as our intro and outro. And intro and outro is the setup and the exit of each episode, just to give it a signature, introduce the podcast, and give a closing remark so that people can stay connected. The intro and outro is what they call. And then develop a workflow. The better you can define your workflow for how you produce every episode, once you've figured out a regular rhythm and routine for how you produce each episode, the easier it gets. But the first few, it may take you a few tries to figure out what works and what doesn't work. But once you figure out what works, turn that into a template for how you produce future episodes. And that will make it easier for your work. That will make it easier for you to bring other people into the production process, so you can do more in terms of your creativity and having a good baseline that you can raise the level of quality over time. So that's the production of the podcast. And then fourthly is the technology. And the reason I include technology as last is podcasting is not so much about technology. Even though it is a technical thing that you're doing, it's about people. I say the same thing about social media. Social media is about the people, not the technology. Now, you're using technology, but it's really about people, and it's really about content. So put the priorities in the right place. And if you've got something to say and you care about people, podcasting is a great delivery vehicle for doing that. An analogy I use, I'm not sure if I've used it here at Social Media Church, but if you like to write, blogging is a great channel for you to be writing and sharing content and what God's put on your heart. If you like talking, podcasting is a great vehicle, particularly audio podcasting. And if you like talking with your hands, YouTube and video is a great vehicle for you to be producing and sharing content. Now, technology, if you're just starting out and you don't have a lot of resources like me, real basic lineup of equipment you can use is just a computer, whether it's a desktop or a laptop. Get some software. You'll need a editor of some kind to manage the recording and the editing of your audio and video. For me, I'm using a MacBook Pro, a 13-inch, and so I use GarageBand for audio production, and once in a while I do a video production, and I use iMovie for that. There's an open source software called Audacity, which is available on Windows as well as Mac, and I think there's also a Linux version. Open source, great editor for audio, multi-channel, can manage mono-channel or stereo. If you're just doing a verbal podcast, you just need mono-channel. Stereo doesn't add all that much, well, except file size, which is bloated, and I would like to think you want to keep that as lightweight as possible for both hosting and for expediency of delivery. And if you're over on the Windows side of things, Windows Movie Maker comes with the Windows OS for you to be producing a raw video edit if you need to do that. And then, of course, there's paid solutions, but I wanted to give you the baseline of how you could start on minimal cost near zero, provided you have the desktop or laptop to do that. In terms of a microphone, I would strongly suggest not using the built-in microphone on your desktop or your MacBook. I myself am using a Blue Yeti mic, which retails for about $100 or $150, depending if you can find it on sale. And, of course, these things I'm mentioning, I'll add a link in the show notes so that you can check them out. If you've already answered the questions of the people and the content and the production, you've gotten some idea around, let's go shopping, get you some basic equipment of technology so that you can start producing your podcast. And then, so that's all the production side, getting it recorded, getting it edited, and then you'll need to distribute and share it with the world. So you'll need a website and hosting and decide on which social media channels you want to be connecting with your audience on. In terms of website, the most popular solution on the internet today is a software called WordPress, which is open source, meaning it's free. And you can use WordPress on a shared hosting solution, or if you have the capacity to run your own server, even better. But WordPress is tremendous. It's matured over the past few years to the point where it's not just running blogs, it's running robust websites. Even some of the most popular websites on the internet. A recent statistic I saw, 17% of the entire internet is running WordPress. So that's pretty large. So there's a lot of people out there that use WordPress, people that could help you with design, people that can help you with coding, and lots of tutorials. So if you can read, you should be able to learn how to manage WordPress enough so that you can be podcasting. There's tons of plugins. I use all free stuff so that I can illustrate how it's done. And I use PowerPress as my plugin to host the audio podcasting here. And then since this is a social media church podcast, I use as many social media channels where I can find church leaders on. So that certainly includes Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. On my YouTube channel, what I'm doing is when I'm recording my podcasts through Skype video chat or a Google Plus Hangout, I like to take the raw video, post it on YouTube for people that like the raw, authentic, unedited version of our conversation is there for people to watch. And then the post-produced, cleaned-up version I post as the audio podcast. And, of course, you have to include what makes a podcast, I think, is its subscribability. And here at Social Media Church Podcast, more than half of our listeners come through iTunes and iOS, which also means about half of our listeners do not come through iTunes and iOS. So to best engage your audience on a consistent, repeated manner, make subscribing easy on iTunes and on an RSS feed, because there's lots of podcatchers, especially on Android devices and other devices that are not produced by Apple, that people have an easy way to subscribe so that new content, new episodes of what you produce will be automatically delivered to them once they've hit the subscribe button. All right, so that's the four big buckets of ingredients that you should consider as you're exploring how to produce a podcast out of your Christian ministry or out of your church, so that you can better serve and encourage and equip your people, or you want to reach people. The four ingredients again: people, second, content and format, third, production, and fourth, the technology. So I hope this has been helpful to just walk you through the basic ingredients of running a podcast. And I will link to a number of resources in the show notes. So once you've gotten your head around these basic ingredients, you say, okay, I'm ready to tackle the tutorials and learn the mechanics and the nuts and bolts of starting the podcast. I'm ready to take a course. I'm ready to follow the tutorials, because I've already gotten clear on who's going to do it and what I'm going to talk about. And so two I'll mention right off the top of my head is Podcast Answer Man, a podcast about podcasting, and then the other one is The Audacity to Podcast. Two great podcasts that walk you through all the auxiliary issues related to podcasting, keep you up to date on the latest developments. And then in terms of hosting, I use Bluehost.com. And if you want to scale for capacity when your audience grows beyond, however many, shared hosting may not be sufficient to handle all the bandwidth required for delivering content to many people. And one of the more affordable solutions is one called Buzzsprout.com. Again, I'll add a link in the show notes, and they provide unlimited bandwidth downloading for podcasts starting at $12 to $24 a month. Decently affordable if you've got a growing audience of podcast listeners and watchers. So audio or video, your choice. That's the shopping list of ingredients for you to think about as you want to take that next step towards producing a podcast for your people, your audience, with interesting, compelling, relevant podcast content. Well, I've covered quite a bit of ground. I'm going to wrap up this one. I invite your feedback here at socialmediachurch.net. That's the website where you can check the show notes, as well as get in touch with me on Twitter, Facebook, even email, and call in with your voicemail or add a comment so that I can respond and fill in any gaps that I might have missed as I walk through a number of ingredients for you to start podcasting. Call in with your comments on our voicemail number. The number is 949-354-3216. I look forward to hearing from you. And my name is DJ Chuang for the Social Media Church Podcast. And until next time, we will stay connected online.